Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Are you kidding me?
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in. Winning cures everything. It's the Wednesday, October 27th edition of the show. I'm Gary. And of course, we have so much to discuss. I sometimes feel, Chris, that three times a week is not nearly enough for us to discuss what's going on in both college football and the NFL. It's plenty for me and you for right now, because good gracious, we are slammed busy. But yes, there is much going on. We are going to dive into all of it. Before we do that, I'm going to go ahead and give the rundown first so that we don't necessarily have to stop. The rundown, of course, go to winningcureseverything.com. That is the website. It's got everything that you need to know about us over there, where to subscribe to the show, the podcast, YouTube feed, Twitch, etc. Go ahead and check all of those out. If you have not subscribed already, please do so. And if you would so kindly, please leave a 5-star review over at Apple Podcasts and jump into the chat or comment on YouTube. That would certainly help us out. If you are watching the show this early, do us a favor, go ahead and like the video. That helps us out with algorithms and everything else. We are rapidly climbing towards 5,000 subscribers on YouTube. We would love to reach that mark before the end of the season. The goal was by like the end of bowl season, by national championship time, to getting towards NFL playoffs, all that, to hit 5,000. But now I think we can do it before that. So if you guys would subscribe and make sure and like the videos, that would help us out for sure. I do a college football show for BetUS. Chris does a college football show for Sportsbook Review. You can find the links to those down in the description. Just click the link and you can hit subscribe there. You can check them out. Chris, the thing is that the SBR thing is still on Twitter, right?
Yeah, it's only on Twitter right now. Still don't have the YouTube up.
Okay. So, yeah, the Twitter account, you can always find Chris's Twitter. It's at ChrisBGiannini. You can find me as well at GaryWCE. But yes, if you cannot find those videos, you'll be able to find them over at Chris's Twitter account as well. They're on the SBR Sports Picks Twitter account. So go and check those out. Make sure and subscribe in the link below. And, of course, the show is always brought to you by BetUS, where the game begins. It's America's top premier sports book. You can find all of their stuff at BetUS.com, but you can sign up using the promo code NCAAF2021. It's going to get you 125% deposit bonus up to $2,500, and it is sportsbook exclusive. I tell you every week, it's an incredible deal. You need to take advantage of it. Go ahead and do that over at BetUS.com, where the game begins. Chris, the first item on the board today, Texas Tech has fired Matt Wells, and he was 13-17. In his, you know, 2.5 seasons or whatever. They are sitting currently at 5-3, but they have got the four big dogs left in the Big 12. And I'm guessing that this was I will tell you this, from everything that I have heard, everything that I have read, this was just a bad relationship that never materialized greatly in his time there. It just never worked out well once he got to Lubbock. And although they are showing some signs of improvement, it does kind of suck that his transfer quarterback that came in, that was supposed to be kind of the saving grace, came in and got hurt within the first few games, had to go back to a guy that wasn't exactly successful with him last year, and now you know, we're looking at who's going to be the next guy there. I hate it for Wells, but he's a guy that had been at Utah State for, I mean, a decade, and did really good things. Before we get into candidates for this job, what are your thoughts on firing, you know, Wells, you know, halfway through his third season?
It came as a shock to me. Like, I wasn't expecting that, you know. I didn't see, you know, any signs of something of that happening. You know, this team has been, we've talked about them, they've gone as this season has gone, which is inconsistent as you can imagine. So, but I don't know that anything that I saw this year was fireable so far.
That's kind of how I felt. I mean, they were 5-3. They got a big win over Houston in week one when Tyler Shuck was healthy. And, you know, they lost last week. They had a double-digit lead in that game and lost to Kansas State, who is a formidable opponent. Like, that's not something to scoff at, to get beat by Kansas State.
Yeah, but blowing the double-digit lead might be something to scoff at.
Yeah, it is, but even still, it's, you know, it's not something that I look at as, oh, that's fireable to lose by one to Kansas State. You know, I still feel like this team was improved, and, you know, so it was not the Kansas State game, per se. This was obviously a relationship breakdown that just did not work. They are 2-3 in the Big 12 right now. They lost to Texas, gave up 70 points in that game. They won at West Virginia. Then they come back, they lose to TCU. They beat up pretty good on Kansas, but almost everybody aside from Oklahoma does that. And then they lose by one to Kansas State. But here, you know, you've got Oklahoma, or you're on the road in Norman this weekend. You've got Iowa State, Oklahoma State, and at Baylor to close out the season. Odds are you will probably win one of those. Like, it just going on baseline odds, my guess is that they would not win any of them, and they'll be 5-7 again. And maybe this was a firing to just go ahead and get out in front of this thing, even if he does win one of these and end up getting them to a bowl game. And they can tell the direction of the program is not good. Might as well go ahead and get him out of here, and let's get somebody that we want in here. So that's what I think is going on. Let's go ahead and hit some of the names that are the candidates. And I'm not going to say I'm well tied in, but I know guys that cover the Big 12, and I have talked to them, and what they have told me right off the bat was be looking for the Art Briles tree, because all of these boosters at Texas Tech, one, they want Art Briles. I don't know that they can get away with it politically with the chancellor and everything else. We'll see. But Art Briles is call one. And then from there, it's going to be, do we want to go with Kendall Briles, who is the OC at Arkansas, or Jeff Lebby, who is the OC at Ole Miss? And both of those guys are from that Briles tree. Jeff Lebby, of course, married to Art Briles' daughter. Both of them run kind of the same stuff. We saw what that game was between Arkansas and Ole Miss, 52-51. Those are the first three to me. And then aside from that, you've got, you know, another offensive guy in Sonny Dykes. You remember Spike Dykes, legendary Texas Tech coach. Sonny Dykes actually played baseball for the Red Raiders. And he's over at SMU right now. Would he want to leave Dallas to go to Lubbock? That's a question. And then, of course, the last one that's been tossed around is Jeff Traylor over at UT San Antonio. Or maybe does Jeff Traylor have his sight on bigger jobs? Let's roll through these. Tell me first off your thoughts on the Briles tree here. Any one of those three, what do you think about that?
You know my opinion on Art. I don't think Art should be blacklisted from football forever, and I'd love to see him get another job. I know that turns people off, and I know that angers people. 90% of those people don't know the full story of what happened there. They haven't spent any time actually looking into it at all. They just take what the media gave them at first, and then they just assume that is gospel and is true, and that's how it's all played out. So with that being said, that's the guy I would love to see get another chance.
Oh, for those that – but let me interrupt you here. For those that do not know, like, let's just make it very clear. Art Briles got paid his entire contract from Baylor. If he were to blame for any of this, there is no way that they pay him out his entire contract. He was a scapegoat.
No, he'd have been fired for calls.
Yes, bottom line. So Kendall Briles, I mean, do you think he's prepared to take over a P5 job? Like maybe as prepared as Cliff was, right?
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know that I like either of those guys, but that's a relative term. Do I like them? Yes. Do I like both of them? Absolutely. Do I think they're ready to run their own program as a P5? That's a big hill to climb.
It is. It definitely is. But it falls right into what you were saying just on the most recent show, the reaction show, where CEOs don't matter anymore. You have to hire a guy that is the play caller in order to keep him around. And yes. And both of those guys fit that mold, you know, Jeff Lebby and Kendall Briles. Sonny Dykes is a very interesting one, of course, the ties to the school. You think he would have interest in leaving SMU? I mean, he's kind of building a juggernaut there, or does he stick around and wait and see if maybe SMU gets an invite to the Big 12?
Well, yeah, this is the interesting thing about that is I kind of think SMU is a better job than Texas. I know that I'm going to catch the ire of Texas Tech people, but, like, the Big 12 is not what the Big 12 used to be anymore, okay? How far off is the American from the Big 12? I don't think it's far at all. And the last couple of years, I don't think it's been far at all either.
You're
losing Texas and Oklahoma.
With the boosters at SMU, I don't know that he is going to get a massive raise by going to Texas Tech. The only thing that would pull him there would be family ties, right?
Yeah.
Like, I fully believe that SMU could pay him whatever they want to, or whatever Texas Tech could. So
that's right.
I'm all in on that. Jeff Traylor, while I love what Jeff Traylor is doing, he is super tied in with Texas high schools and everything else. You're always wary of the guy that came in and won right away with somebody else's players, right? And this was a Frank Harris built roster. I'm a little wary of that, and there's no concrete offensive system here. It's just a really good, really well coached football team that UTSA has right now. And does that continue? Does that maintain? He's got lightning in a bottle right this second. It looks like they're probably going to go 12-0. I say probably. Maybe they will go 12-0. It is set up for them to. If he does that, I mean, somebody's going to come calling. You have to answer that call if you're Traylor. But, if I'm Texas Tech, I want something that's a little more less flash in the pan, right? You kind of feel the same?
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think it's a bad hire, but at the same time, I am weary of guys that have done it 1 year.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly how I feel about it. Exactly how I feel about it. So, with that, let's go on and move over to, a similar topic. But let's go ahead and kind of rank the open college football jobs. We've already got six of them, and it's not even Halloween yet. I will go on and tell you my top six. I would imagine yours will align relatively similarly. I'm going to go LSU number one. I'm going to go USC number two, and then Texas Tech over Washington State, and then Georgia Southern and UConn. I think that's the easiest way to do it. I guess the biggest question here, LSU or USC the better job, and Texas Tech or Washington State the better job. You've already kind of given your thoughts on USC being a better job than LSU as far as it's easier to win there. But also,
I don't know that I think that anymore. I don't know that I think that anymore.
Okay. Let's talk about this then. Tell me your thoughts.
Well, first off, we've got an administration at LSU that is now willing to pay an extreme price. So that has a lot to do with it. We're not losing staff. You can hire anybody you want. Price will be no problem.
Which means resources will be no problem, right?
Yes. That's something that hasn't always been. Okay. So that's new. All right. So that's not something that I was expecting. And then just the recruit, like, while it's so hard to win in the SEC, I just don't know how easy it's going to be to convince kids to want to play in the Pac-12 anymore.
I tend to agree with that.
Also wonder this. Has the state of California, has Southern California lost its shine with football players, with high school kids? What does it have to offer people anymore? Because it's not the destination that it used to be. I mean, if you go to the downtown area, if you go to Hollywood, if you go to all these old famous places, I don't mean to sound heartless. I know I'm going to, but they are completely covered with homeless people. Encampments to where all of the things were that used to be a fun thing to go do, you can't go do anymore.
True. True. There's a lot to, I mean, we could dive into this topic all day, really. But there are a lot of people that are moving out of the West Coast due to a lot of the things that are going on politically over the last couple of years, first off. But this has been a trend for quite some time. On the West Coast, we've talked in the past about the number of high school, like D1 high school football recruits that come out of the California area, right, out of the West Coast, and how it's kind of started to diminish a little bit, and you've got a lot more D1 prospects that are coming out of the Southeast. And, you know, while there is still a ton of talent out there, there's still a lot that's offered across the country, and this is a global sport. Kids are not scared to go away from home anymore, along with the fact that a lot of those kids from California that are recruits are transplants anyway. So, you know, there's not that tie to home that there used to be. Everybody's moving everywhere all the time, it feels like. But at LSU, you got guys in the state that grow up wearing purple and gold that are all D1 prospects. So you got depth at LSU that you couldn't get at USC. However, I do think it is easier to win at USC if we just want to, you know, if we want to look at it as who do you play every year. You're still going to have to play somebody in the playoff once you get there. So I don't know which way is easier there. But how about Texas Tech and Washington State? You still think Tech is better job than Washington State?
Oh, yes. Yes, you're in the state of Texas. The leftovers of recruits should be enough to compete in the Big 12 and in the non-con games there outside of Washington State. So,
yeah, I kind of tend to agree. And then Georgia Southern, just recruiting-based, better than UConn as of right now. So,
well, yeah, UConn. One of the worst programs in the country.
Yes. Those are the six that are open. Now let's talk about who's coming open next, and we're going to run through very quickly some of these hot seat positions right now. First off, Justin Fuente at Virginia Tech. I mean, that seat is scalding currently. It is on fire. It is smoking. The fact that he is not out yet is a little surprising after losing three straight at home, including that last-minute touchdown to Syracuse. That one and Manny Diaz at Miami, he kind of got the monkey off his back a little bit with the win over NC State. I don't know how much that helps considering the kind of press tour that the AD at Miami went on last week. But those two in the ACC, yeah, you kind of feel like both are maybe gone at the end of the season, or is it only Fuente?
Well, Fuente's already gone. I think that's done. The difference is some ADs just and I respect that and I understand that. And so but no, there's zero doubt. I don't, if Fuente won out, it doesn't matter. I think he's still gone. Manny Diaz, on the other hand, if Manny Diaz wins out, I think Manny Diaz can save his job.
Yeah, I think
but
so.
I think he needs to win out.
Yeah, I mean, and they everybody remaining on Miami's schedule aside from Pitt has a losing record, if I'm not mistaken. So
No, there's no reason. They need to prepare for Pitt. And if they can win out, which they should beat everybody else, and beat Pitt, then I think he does save his job. He buys himself another year.
I think you're probably right. Yeah, I mean, he's only in his third season. Last year, COVID year, they got up to number 7 in the country at one point. It was a little bit of a paper tiger. But, you know, he's still got a chance to do something there. Herm Edwards at Arizona State. This would be nothing on the field. I kind of get the sense that, you know, I mean, they go 8-4 or something along those lines. Like, he's going to be perfectly fine because I think Arizona State is telling the NCAA, screw you, we don't care. We're going to keep our guy. Hey, is that kind of the sense that you're feeling?
Yeah, I do, and I kind of like that. You know that. I just don't if everybody just stops listening to the NCAA, what are they going to do?
Not much, apparently, because they have done nothing regarding this, and you called this. They have done nothing, and I don't expect them to do anything because there's going to be massive changes after the vote. There's a vote coming in November. There's another vote coming in January. I don't know which one is in regards to reorganizing the NCAA, but it's coming, you know, and we're going to figure out exactly what new rules will be and all kinds of different stuff. But I don't anticipate Arizona State getting rid of Herm Edwards. Going to the Big Ten, Scott Frost in Nebraska. Now, you know, the last loss, the loss to Michigan definitely hurts. They've got Purdue this weekend, and they are pretty sizable favorites in this spot against Purdue, which is shocking to me. But you look at who they've got remaining on their schedule, and I don't know what he has to do at this point. Or is it just, have they just shown enough that, hey, this is, we got to get somebody new in here. We got to do something different. If you look at Nebraska's schedule, they have, let's see, they lost to Michigan. They lost to Minnesota. Now they've got Purdue, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Iowa. I don't know that they win any of those. Now they could certainly grab one or two, but this is a team that's sitting at 3-5 right now. I don't think you're making a bowl game. You'd have to win three out of those four. So I don't think they're going to get there. And if they don't, what else can you do at this point?
Well, nothing. I do think he gets fired. I think we're done, and I got no idea where they look, but I think you got to make a change.
Yeah, I mean, it's Scott Frost will get another job somewhere else because he'll be able to explain this away as, oh, I couldn't get players at Nebraska and blah, 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 blah. Which I don't know that I necessarily believe that, but he'll be able to explain it away and he'll get him a G5 job and he'll work his way back up, but we'll see. In the SEC, Dan Mullen, I never would have imagined after winning the SEC East last year, finally getting the win over Georgia, that we would be in this position, but this is all the numbers say that they are good. And Chris, I don't think they're good. And I don't know how to fix it. Like, I think he can get away with one more year if he fires Grantham. Is that about the only thing he's got left to do?
Maybe. I can't figure this out either. I can't figure Florida out at all. That's the most interesting one of all. I hung out this weekend with an Ole Miss guy and a Mississippi State guy, okay? And us three hung out and watched football all day Saturday. Baseball Saturday, and we put together this bizarro world of Lane leaves for some job that comes available, okay, whatever it is,
okay,
and Ole Miss calls Dan Mullen and Leach falls off a cliff next year and Mississippi State calls Hugh Freeze. And we get the band back together of the two most hated guys in the SEC
but
back in the Magnolia State, bringing the piss and vitriol and hatred and anger back to those universities just with different jobs.
My Lord, I don't know.
I would pay money to get it. I'd pay money to get it, Gary.
Yeah, I would love to see it. I would love to see it, but I mean, obviously, I doubt that that's going to happen, but it,
how fantastic would it be, though?
Like Mike Tomlin said, you never say never, right? never say never. Never say never, but never. But, yes, I'm with you. I think Ole Miss would be more likely to call back Hugh Freeze as opposed to calling Dan Mullen. But we shall see. Two other ones that I got on the list, Seth Luttrell at North Texas. It looks like that thing is about done, which is crazy to think about because he was such a hot name when Graham Harrell was his offensive coordinator. Everybody thought Seth Luttrell was the brains behind that. Nope, that appears to be Harrell. And if that job comes open, I would not doubt that Harrell might be the first call that they make at North Texas and go and grab him from USC. Now, was Harrell's stock bumped up so much that he might be up for some lower-level P5 jobs, you know, some jobs that might be bigger than North Texas? Possibly. I doubt it, though. I think he would go back to North Texas. And Chip Lindsey at Troy. What he is doing with a roster that talented is criminal. He has more than enough players to be able to be successful at Troy. Their offense is like number 111 in points per drive right now. I mean, it is putrid what they're doing. And he's supposed to be an offensive guy. I mean, he was the offensive coordinator at Auburn. The reason he got the job is because he had so many ties to recruiting in the state, and they have one of the most talented rosters in all of the Sun Belt, and he can't find a way to get this thing done. So his seat is getting pretty hot. Troy does not like losing, and I'm sure that you know that. I mean, going back all the way to Larry Blakeney, know, and then they had Neil Brown after that. Like, Neil Brown did great things. That thing was set up for whoever came in to be successful, and his coaching decisions have cost them way, way too many ball games. So Chip Lindsey, he's likely on the way out. I have no idea who Troy would go after, but that is another one to watch. So that is seven more jobs that we could kind of expect to open up. Chris, we got to talk before we jump into the NFL stuff. We got to talk about James Franklin. And I'm sure that everybody saw this. Apparently, this went down a couple months ago. But he has changed agents. He has gone from Trace Armstrong over to the mega agent, Jimmy Sexton. And along with that, because, of course, that news breaks yesterday or today or whenever it was, that stuff goes on. And then he has a press conference on Tuesday where he is explaining to everybody that, no, these other jobs are not the reason why we lost this game. I am fully focused on the job at hand. And this man, in his press conference, misspoke and said that he and his team are focused completely on Illinois and this team and this program. Now, of course, everybody knows that Penn State played Illinois last week, and they play Ohio State this week. And on top of that, he said he slipped and called Ohio Stadium the Big House, which we all know is actually Michigan Stadium. So instead of calling it the Horseshoe, he called it the Big House, and that's a misspeak, and we get that. And the Illinois thing is a misspeak as well. This is a man that is normally very controlled and very on top of things. And in this press conference setting where he is being asked about him looking around at other jobs, he just completely lost it. Do you think that he might be focused on some of these other things outside of football right now?
No, but I do think he's looking at other jobs, okay? But I think you can look at other jobs and still try to do your job well, right? So those two things aren't part and parcel separated from one another, okay? I think that he is not handling being asked about them because he doesn't know how to lie. He's a very bad liar, and that's a good quality to have, by the way. I think he's uncomfortable, and I will tell you this. I'm gonna turn this around because I don't know. How would you answer these questions if you were actively interested in a job that was open, and you were trying to do the job you were doing? You're not certain you're going to get the job that's open, and so you're constantly being asked about these other jobs. How would you respond every week?
I think the perfect response, we've seen other coaches do this, the perfect response is, I am the coach at Penn State, and I am focused on being the coach at Penn State. It's not a denial. It's not anything else. It is, you don't bring up the other teams. You don't bring up anything that can be misspeak or anything else. You just say, I am focused on this job. I am the coach at Penn State. Period. End of sentence. If something changes with that, obviously you guys will know. But I am the coach at Penn State, and I plan on being the coach at Penn State. I mean, it's very, very simple. You don't have to mention the stadium that you're going to play in. You don't have to mention the team that you're going to play. None of that. Yeah, it's very simple stuff. But I do understand being uncomfortable in a situation if you don't want to be asked about this stuff, right? I don't think anybody would. But I think there's ways that he could handle it. Clay Travis was on The Next Round, which is a new startup show out of Birmingham. It's the guys that used to be on WJOX. And he told him, and he's personal friends with James Franklin from back when Franklin was at Vanderbilt over in Nashville. And he said that he thought this before the season, that Franklin is ready to leave Pennsylvania. Like, he is, it's time. The resources and whatnot that are being put in at Ohio State and at Michigan and other teams in the Big Ten, Penn State is not going to be able to match what they are doing. So his one time of winning the Big Ten, he may not have the resources or the recruiting resources to be able to mimic that again. So So my guess is, yes, he is going to look at taking one of these other jobs, whether it's USC or LSU, but he has stated openly in the past that his goal is to be the first black head coach to win a national championship, and I don't know that you can get that done at Penn State. I think you can probably get it done maybe at USC, and you can definitely do it at LSU if you are a good enough head coach. So that's my ideal on that. You kind of feel the same?
Completely agree.
All right. So, it is time to get into the NFL. Let's kind of run through the recap. This was kind of a dud NFL week, you know?
Yep, bad week.
NFL Week 7 recap. I asked Chris four questions coming out of the previous NFL week leading into the next week. And Chris, you know, I'm going to let you answer this one first. What on earth was the best game of the weekend?
Just make it positive. Sorry.
You're all good. Thanks. You're all good. No worries.
So hey, I was. You got me off guard. So the best game of the weekend or the best game of the whole week?
Well, I mean the best game of Thursday through Monday. How's that? The best game of NFL
I
Week
do
7.
Think, I know I'm biased here. I know that Thursday night football game was a weird game, low scoring compared to what we're used to and what we like. I think that was the closest game. I think it was a fun game. Seeing all these unnamed guys that nobody knows who they are play really well, I thought was pretty interesting. But I'm also biased. I enjoyed watching my team play well and get a win.
I can understand that. The Saints and Seahawks on Monday night was ugly. It was a close game. It felt like every play mattered, so maybe that's something. And then the Falcons-Dolphins was 30-28, and we had a couple of last-minute scorers that thought that they won the ball.
We had some close games. All the close games were really boring.
Yes. The Falcons-Dolphins, for the closeness of the game, even watching that, there was nothing like that you really got excited about with it. So,
I would say the most exciting game of the weekend. The most exciting game of the weekend was watching the Bengals. It didn't matter about close. The best game of the weekend was watching the Bengals just systematically beat the hell out of the Ravens.
That's so this gets to the next question, the most surprising result, and that is one of them that I have written down was the Bengals, because that was never, like, that was never even close, you know?
7,005 or
7,605? Oh, shit. 605, I'll rewrite it. Sorry, man. I'm at the bank and I screwed up the chat.
You're all good.
No, you're good. I'll come back later.
You're all good. The Bengals beating up on the Ravens was one of them. It was pretty ridiculous. The other two surprising results that I had, the Titans beating the absolute mess out of the Chiefs was surprising, 27-3, and then the Giants 25-3 over the Panthers, because I did not know that the Giants could do that to anybody, much less a Panthers team that I thought was actually pretty good.
I think we're learning two things. Hang on.
Go ahead.
I want to make comments on that. I think we're learning two things about those two things that you just brought up, those other two games. A, the Panthers aren't good, so we got to stop that. And B, the Chiefs aren't good either. We got to stop that. We just have to rewire our brain to understand the Chiefs aren't good at football anymore. That's okay?
Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, there's nothing that
we
can take.
We're through 7 weeks now, and they have a losing record. Last week, in a game in which offense dominates everything in football, they scored 3 points. One of the worst defenses in the league held them without a touchdown.
Yes.
Derrick Henry threw for more touchdown passes than Patrick Mahomes. Hang on. Remember a couple of years ago when they won their Super Bowl and everybody immediately started running the fingers off like LeBron James? Not one, not two, not three. How many of these guys going to get? And I said, whoa. Let's hold the hell on, because nobody alive has more than three but one guy. One guy. So let's be real careful before you start chalking up dynasty. The dynasty, Mike Wilbon has referred to the dynasty of one, because that's what he is seeing as telling them. They're already a dynasty. They're a dynasty of one. It's the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. He spent his entire life 1-1 year three, and everyone just said, oh, he's going to win 10 of them. Just wait. And the son of a bitch has never been back to another one, ever.
It's the same thing with Russell Wilson. Right, everybody thought the Seahawks were going to run off a whole bunch of them because of that defense and because what Russell Wilson was able to do with the offense a little bit. And turns out, it's not as easy. It's just not as easy. So what the Patriots did with Tom Brady will never be replicated, and what Tom Brady is doing, period, may never be replicated ever again. I mean, it's just absurd what they are able to do. So yes, that is those were the most surprising results. Who lost the weekend this week?
I was going to say the Panthers. Because I still thought they were good up until this weekend. But I don't. That's probably not the right answer. The answer is probably the Chiefs. Not even being able to score on. I think the Titans go. See, you got to look at, because I don't know how to look at the numbers before Sunday. Now that Sunday has already happened. Before Sunday, I think the Titans were like 28th in defense.
And they were, yeah, they were 28th in DVOA. Yep.
Yeah, that's fourth from the bottom. Okay, and this god of offense, Patrick Mahomes, who everyone oogles and ahs at. Oh, look how many plays. Look how weird he can throw the football. Nobody can stop it. They held him to nothing. They held him to a goose egg. They blanked him.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Those two that you brought up for who lost the weekend, I did not even write those two down. I put down the 49ers, 30-18 loss at home to the Colts on Sunday night coming out of a bye week. We all thought this 49ers team was going to be back to, and I understand they got injuries, and I understand they got all this other stuff, but man, this is not a good football team right now. And your star quarterback that you just drafted number 3 overall is already hurt, already dealing with stuff, can't figure out the offense. Jimmy Garoppolo threw like his first, it felt like his first big play ever, and it was in a losing effort. Like, it just, the 49ers have major issues. And then I wrote down the Jets, and not because they lost. I mean, they got trounced by the Patriots, but it wasn't that. It was that they lost Zach Wilson, you know, and he's going to be out for several weeks now. And it got so bad there, they're going to have to. They went and traded for Joe Flacco. Like, they brought Flacco back. They brought Mr. Elite back. I don't know that it gets much worse than that for the Jets, right?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. That's pathetic. That's pretty bad. But the Jets are already bad. So, you know, but I don't know that nothing they do surprised me. So.
There was at least a little bit of hope for the Jets, but now that has disappeared.
Well, and I'll say this. I know that I keep making excuses, which at some point in time, Kyle Shanahan has to win a football game, okay? But, like, that game was played a damn monsoon. Like, I'm not judging you for having a bad outing, you know. I don't know.
I mean, to me, that seemed like it would have worked better for the 49ers as opposed to the Colts. And yet, you know, here we are. I don't know. It's very frustrating, especially considering, you know, you and I both thought that the 49ers were going to be pretty good this year, and they certainly are not. As far as who won the weekend, I wrote down the Titans, and I wrote down the Raiders. And the Raiders had to do with, one, you know, getting the win over the Eagles, and they were dominant in that ball game. You were 100% right about that game. But they are now 5-2 on the season. It seems like this is a team, by losing Gruden, they may have gotten better. Like, you think that's possible?
No, I don't think it's. I think they're a good football team. I think they were good. Hang on, they were 5-1 with Bruce. So how can you make that claim?
Well, no, they were. They lost their last game with Gruden as head coach, and I think that was at 3-2, and now they've won 2 straight without him. So now they're sitting.
So they were three. They were. But all right, but before the emails came out, they were 3-1.
Right.
They had lost one game. So that doesn't mean they were bad. So they were good with Gruden. They were still good with Gruden.
Yeah, they look like a better team. Like, they're more dominant. I don't know what it is. Like, this looks
they're
like
not
a
more
team.
Dominant. They're playing worse teams now. Doesn't that help?
Yeah. You do have a point there. You do have a point. And then you know, the Titans are now sitting at 5-2. That was the first one that I mentioned. Big win over the Chiefs. They got the Colts on the road this weekend. This is a massive, massive game. Could move them to 6-2. And they are. I mean, they're about as good as it gets in the AFC right now. So, yeah, I'm curious to see what the Titans will look like coming off of 2 massive wins at home. But, man, that game at the Colts, that one is looming. They've always had issues there for whatever reason. So let's move on. Let's get into Pick 'em. You ready to rock and roll?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The biggest games of the weekend, NFL Week 8 last week. My brother, I put up a goose egg. 0-8 against the spread last week. Moves me to 30-30-1 on the season. You went 4-4, and you are sitting at 27-33-1 on the season. So last week, I definitely did not do myself any favors. I was rocking and rolling through the year. Not doing great anymore, so now I got to pick it back up. Let's go on and talk about game number one here. Game number one is the Thursday night game. We always start off with that one, and this one is interesting now. The Packers go to the Cardinals. Cardinals are now a six-point favorite, total of 51 odds, courtesy of BetUS, where the game begins. You can go to BetUS.com, use the promo code NCAAF2021, get 125% sign-up bonus. Both teams are 5-0 against the spread in their last five. Davante Adams is out via COVID protocol. And, you know, when I look at these two teams, that first game for the Packers is still weighing heavily on their total DVOA because they were so thoroughly dominated in that game. Arizona is number 2 in total DVOA. Green Bay is number 11. Now, if you take out that first game, Green Bay would actually be number 3. If you took out just that one game. Make of that what you will. This is supposed to be a monster matchup, and it loses a little bit of its luster because Adams is out. If I'm looking at the Cardinals at home on a short week, I have to feel good about them. I don't know what to make of this Cardinals team. You and I both did not have high hopes for them coming into the season. And I think as the season goes on, that older defensive unit that they've got is eventually going to deal with some injuries, I guess. I don't know. But I look at this. Green Bay's defense is not great. And going up against this offense, I mean, that's going to be tough. Arizona's defense is number 2 in DVOA. Green Bay's offense is number 4, but they're losing one of their biggest weapons. I'm going to roll with Arizona minus the 6 here. Like, you take away one of the biggest weapons for the team that's on the road, I'm going to have to go with the home team, so give me the Cardinals minus 6.
I will take the Packers. I will take Aaron Rodgers. I think they'll figure out a way to keep this thing close.
So my thought process on that was, because I really did think about taking the Packers, does it sometimes feel like when you lose a player that demands that much attention that maybe all the other players play a little bit better because – you are inserting somebody that there's not a ton of film on, and maybe they don't know exactly what to do with the guys that you got left. Does it kind of feel like that sometimes?
Maybe. I can see that.
I don't know. I think it's going to be a fun football game. Fun football game. The next game on the board is a 12 p.m. game, and that's on Sunday at 12 p.m. Central. So 1 o'clock Eastern, whatever you want to call it. But this one is the Panthers at the Falcons. Divisional game. Panthers need to bounce back in the worst way. Falcons, 3-point favorite, total of 46. Falcons are 6-1 against the spread and straight up in their last 7 against the Panthers. The Panthers, however, 8-2 against the spread their last 10 on the road. Matt Rhule knows what he's doing when he gets this team on the road. For whatever reason, that game against the Giants last week scared me to death. But now that I've had a couple of days to process it and whatnot, I think I'm going to go back to the well with the Panthers here. I don't trust the Falcons. I don't think the Falcons are a great football team. I think the Panthers are going to be able to do enough on defense to keep this thing close. I think they got a shot to win the ball game. So if you're giving me a head start, I will certainly take the head start. I'll take the Panthers plus 3 here.
So I'm with you. We're going to agree on this one. I think that this Falcons team shouldn't be favored over anybody.
The Falcons are number 31 in total DVOA. Now, the Panthers are not much better. They're number 26. But, you know, Carolina's defense is number 11 in DVOA, and Atlanta's offense is number 25. So I see an advantage there. Carolina's offense is number 30 in that metric, and Atlanta's defense is number 30. So if I'm looking for an advantage, it would be Carolina's defense here. I think they can stop the Falcons, and I think that they can generate enough points somewhere to be able to get a win, or at least keep this down to a 1 point, 2 point, whatever win. And even if I push, I feel all right about it. But I think the Panthers are the more likely option here, so we'll agree on that one. Our next game up, another nooner, and we have got, and we may disagree on this one. We have the Steelers heading to Cleveland to take on the Browns. Browns are a 3.5 point favorite at home, total of 42.5. And I will go ahead and say this, and there's not a whole lot of rhyme or reason to this because I don't think either team is great right now. I'm going to take the Steelers. I think the Steelers, 3.5, I feel like is a little too much. I like the hook here because I feel like this is a field goal game either way. All of the injuries for Cleveland brings them back closer to to the Steelers because I don't think the Steelers are a great team. But I do think that their defense is good enough to be able to slow down what Cleveland has available on offense right now. What are your thoughts?
Nope. I think the Browns are good. I think the Browns can run the football on everybody. I know the Steelers' defensive front is pretty good, but I think this offensive line is good. I think they're getting Landry back. Guys are getting healthier. I think Case Keenum is a far, far better quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger.
You are probably not wrong about that. Definitely not wrong about that at all. I feel like divisional game, this one should be tight. Now, I thought this with the Ravens and the Bengals last week. So, watch this one end up being, 41-17 or whatever. But I'm a roll with the Steelers. I got a little bit of faith in them. Tomlin's press conference got me fired up again. So, I'm in on that. Another 12 p.m. game. We have got a big-time matchup in the AFC South. The Titans heading to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. The Colts are a 1 point underdog at home, total of 49.5. And if you just look at the numbers, like the overall season numbers, you would actually have Indianapolis favored in this spot by about 2 points. I mean, analytically, that's where they should be. However, I don't know of anybody that would want to pick against the Titans right now, and I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take the Titans minus 1. Both teams are 5-1 against the spread in their last 6 games, so the Colts have actually gotten a little bit better, but the Colts have not played quite the competition that the Titans have. I look at this as the Titans are on one of those kind of runs right now, and when it ends, it's going to end ugly and it's going to be bad. This is still a team that lost to the Jets. So let's not get carried away with them. But a massive win over the Chiefs, a massive win over the Bills, and now you have to go on the road. It's going to be tough, but I expect the Titans to get a win here. They have won their last 2 at Indianapolis in kind of blowout fashion. I kind of expect the same here. I'm going to roll with the Titans maybe by a touchdown, and the fact that I'm only having to give up 1, I feel all right about.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the Titans to win this game. I don't know if they'll blow them out, but I think it'll be a close game. I still don't trust Carson Wentz. I don't care what they look like. Carson still looks bad.
And their biggest thing is they have been able to run the football with Jonathan Taylor. That's what they did against the 49ers the other night.
80% of their offense has been Carson throwing it up and guys getting defensive pass interference.
Yes.
That's how they move. Go look at the yards that they got in penalties against the 49ers. That's how they move the football on them. That is not sustainable.
Yeah, yeah, I could 100% see that. You know, they have found ways to win, and this is one of those spots. You know, we always talk about hangovers and whatnot. I thought the Titans might have one after a big win over the Bills against the Chiefs, and turns out the Chiefs are just not a very good football team. So, you know, does the hangover ever hit the Titans, or are they just on one of those runs where nobody's going to beat them right now? And that's kind of what it looks
like. One day it's probably going to hit them.
Oh, eventually. But I don't know when that is, and I ain't going to take them, you know, I'm not going to take them to lose this weekend. I will tell you that. We are going to move to the afternoon slate, and we're going to start off with the New England Patriots heading over to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. Chargers, a 5.5-point favorite at home, total of 49 here, which seemed like a lot of points until you saw exactly what the Patriots offense did last week. And honestly, all season, if they had not been fumbling the football in some of the worst possible spots, then they could have put up a ton more points than they have in some of these games. The Patriots are 5-0 against the spread in their last five against the Chargers. None of that matters because all of that was with Tom Brady and whatnot. So you know, but what do you make of that? Nothing. I look at this matchup, and I am still not a big fan of what the Chargers are doing. Like, I think that they're a good team, not a great team, and that's kind of where I see New England. New England, as far as total DVOA, is actually a better team. They're number 13 overall. The Chargers are number 17. New England's offense is better than the Chargers' defense. The New England defense, just a little bit worse than the Chargers' offense. I look at this as a team that we don't know what to expect out of the Patriots. I think that they will be able to keep this game close. I think they could actually win the game outright, and the fact that I'm getting 5.5, I feel pretty good about. I'm going to take the Patriots plus the 5.5 here. Two young quarterbacks, you know, Mac Jones and Justin Herbert. I expect a showcase here. So I'm going to roll with the Patriots to be able to keep this within 5.5 and maybe win the ball game.
Yeah, I think the Pats have a chance to win the ball game too. I'm going to take the head start as well. I'm going in with you. This is an interesting thought. This will be the largest collection of Boston transplants in the country going to the new stadium in LA.
I did not think of that.
Yeah, they're projected to have 50,000 Pats fans there.
Unbelievable.
The Staples Center doesn't hold that, you know, and you know, Boston fans have shown up for Lakers games, Clippers games over the years and things of that nature. But, you know, none of the other arenas around the country really have held that the team would travel to. This is it.
That is, they are expecting 50,000 Pats fans. They are going to overwhelm the Chargers fans. I can get down with it. Another point of advantage here. New England, number 12 in special teams DVOA, and the Chargers are dead last in the NFL in that metric. So if you're looking for another form of an advantage here, that would be one of them. That would certainly be one of them. We got three more games that we're going to hit here before we do our Super Contest picks. Let's go on and move to a little later in the afternoon, and the Bucs are headed to New Orleans to take on the Saints. Saints are a 5-point underdog at home, total of 50. Saints are 5-1 against the spread their last six against the Bucs. And the Bucs, 14-1 straight up in their last 15, 10-1 straight up in their last 11 on the road. But we ain't talking straight up. We're talking against the number here. Hey, Chris, I have done this week in and week out, and I cannot seem to figure out this Bucs team. When I bet against them, they win big. When I bet on them, they don't cover by like a point. And it is becoming irritating. I think in this spot, I'm going to roll with the Saints again. I keep doing this week after week. I think this is a big-time matchup for them. They're going to have a lot of people in the home stands. I like the Saints team. Like, they have found ways to win ball games that they probably shouldn't, and I'm going to trust them here. I don't trust them to be able to get the win. I trust them to make this a field goal game. I think Jameis Winston against this secondary is going to have success, much more so than the Bears did last week. I actually trust Jameis Winston to throw a pass. I do not anymore trust Justin Fields and Matt Nagy's offense to do that. So I was on the wrong side with the Bears last week. But I'll take the Saints at home plus +5. I think this will be a close ball game.
We disagree. You just keep don't believing in Tom Brady. I'm telling you what, man. I don't know what you have to do to convince somebody that the guy's the greatest quarterback of all time. But he is the greatest quarterback of all time. Hang on. Let's talk about something for a minute, okay?
Okay.
Tom Brady's not only the greatest quarterback of all time, right? He has done this so long. He's the first human being ever to be one and every other human alive against Father Time, all right? And then last week, we saw something totally different. Totally different. Gary, did you see the sign? Did you see the board of the sign?
Yes, I did.
Tom Brady cheered his pitcher. we got a building that's worth $100 billion. It's about 9 miles away from me right now, okay?
That's true.
That is built with its sole purpose in mind of trying to cure childhood cancer. And Tom did it. Tom beat cancer. I don't know. I do not know how else to tell. I've been trying to evangelize about this man my entire existence since I've known him for 20 years, and nobody will listen. He's the greatest. He's not just the greatest football player. He's not just the greatest quarterback. He's just the best at everything that you ever want to measure somebody by.
I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm not going to disagree with that at all. I fully expect him to put up points.
You just keep betting against
him. But I am going to bet against him in this spot.
So you think the Bucs aren't defense isn't excited about playing against Jameis?
Yes, I think that they are. I just don't trust their secondary right now. I don't.
I trust Jameis to throw the ball to their secondary.
That is probably a much more likely outcome.
Can you name a good team that the Saints have beat? Not as good as the Bucs. Can you name a good team the Saints have beat?
Do we consider the Patriots a good team?
No.
Probably not. No, okay. Don't. Well, no, I can't. That's impossible. Because the only good teams that they've played, they have been beaten by. So, if you look at DVOA, by the way, Tampa Bay number 4 overall and New Orleans number 7 overall. Really, that New Orleans defense is what I'm kind of hinging it on, but I do expect Tom to put up points there, and New Orleans has a special teams advantage, number 9 to number 23 in that regard. So I'll roll Saints, and you'll roll Bucks, and I don't have to win. I just have to cover, and that's kind of what I'm counting on here. So Sunday Night Football. Let's go on and dive into this one. Sunday Night Football, we have got the Cowboys heading to Minnesota. Take on the Vikings. Vikings are a 3-point underdog at home. Total of 55. Vikings 5-1 against the number of their last 6 against the Cowboys. The Cowboys here are 5-0 against the spread, or sorry, 6-0 against the spread in their last 6 games. They are rolling so far this year. I think I even wrote that number down. I think they have not lost. I think they've covered every game this season. The Cowboys have. And I kind of expect them to do it again here. I'm going to roll Cowboys -3. The Vikings, got a much-needed win a couple weeks ago, or last week, whatever it was. I don't know, man. I don't know what to make of this. I'm going to take the Cowboys -3. I think their offense is significantly better than the Vikings. And their defense is playing well right now. Diggs has been unbelievable at cornerback. I'm going to take the Cowboys, and I feel all right about this. So I'm rolling with that. What you got here?
My only logic for this is that all good things must come to an end, and this line stinks like shit. There's no reason on earth for the Cowboys to be a 3-point favorite here. The Cowboys should be a substantially better, bigger favorite than 3 points. They just should.
Well, all right. So not totally right? So let's give 2 points for home field advantage. And if you look at the analytics, Minnesota is number 12 in total DVOA. Dallas is number 5. But if you go offense versus defense, Minnesota's offense is actually number 12. Like, they've been insanely efficient. They hadn't put a bunch of points up on the board, but they're number 12 in offensive efficiency, and Dallas's defense is number 10. And then if you look on the other side, Dallas's offense is number 3 in offensive efficiency in total DVOA, and Minnesota's defense is actually number 6 in the NFL. So it's not that outlandish. But I
know you can't see right now, but I'm just rolling the shit out of my eyes. Because I don't care. Okay, I watch these teams play football, Gary.
Yeah,
I watch them play football. And Dallas is far, far, far better than Minnesota. But somebody in Vegas thinks that this game is going to be a lot closer than that.
Yeah, I think you're
right. I'm going with those guys.
Okay, so you go take the Vikings.
I also would venture to say that, I don't know, come close to game time, 70-80% of the whole world will be on the Dallas Cowboys. So I'm just gonna go with, I think the house is gonna need the Vikings, and I'm gonna go with the house. That's my only logic. Do that what you want.
That would make sense. Let me make sure that the line has not moved since we've been talking. Nope. It's actually Cowboys -3, and now it's juiced at -105. So we shall see. We shall see. I feel good about the Cowboys. But I can understand why the line would be where it is, just based on numbers. But yes, the Cowboys are just way better team. Way better team. Let's do Monday Night Football right quick, and then we'll do our Super Contest picks. Monday night, we have a banger of a matchup, I guess you could say. The Giants heading to Arrowhead Stadium to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. The Giants are actually the team with momentum at this point. Of course, coming off that big win against the Panthers last week, and the Chiefs have looked like absolute hammer dog shit here lately. The Chiefs, even with all that said, are a 10-point favorite at home against the Giants. Total of 52. The Giants, 8-1 against the number in the last 9, and 5-1 against, or 5-1 straight up in the last 6 against the Chiefs. I don't know that you could, if you had put out 6 or 7, I still probably would have taken the Giants here, because I think the Chiefs, their entire idea of what their team is broken right now. This defense could not stop me and you lining up to run plays. Like, it is really, really bad. And how they have not fired their DC, I have no idea. No idea. But they are bad. I mean, just really, really bad. I'm going to take the Giants plus the 10 here. And that might be a sucker's bet, because I kind of thought this would open at 7. But, you know, again, you start looking at numbers, and it makes sense, because, you know, overall, just how explosive this Kansas City offense can be, it makes numerical sense to make them a 10-point favorite. But to me, I don't see it. I am not going to bet on the Chiefs again. Like, I got the one cover with them against the Eagles earlier this year. This is, you know, this Giants team ain't awful, so I will take the Giants plus the 10 here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have bet against the Chiefs every week this year, and I've blown one cover. That's it. I've won the rest.
Yeah,
I just think they're a better football team.
The Kansas City offense through the first 5 weeks of the season was number 1 in total DVOA. After the last 2 weeks, they are all the way down to number 5. And don't get me wrong, the Giants.
I misspoke just then. I just said I think they're the better football team. The Giants are not a better football team than the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are wildly, wildly overrated.
They're going through some growing pains right now, I think. Like, I think there's something weird going on with them. Now, could I absolutely see?
Let me ask you a different question.
Okay.
I'm gonna ask you a question about somebody on the Chiefs. But do you think people are more like the people they hang out with, or less like the people they hang out with?
I think that's a pretty easy answer. I think more like the people that they hang out with.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the entire universe, for the most part, believes that Patrick Mahomes' brother and his wife are kind of douchebags. But, and they all keep saying, oh, it sucks because they're kind of sullying the good name of Patrick. Patrick seems like an unbelievable guy. But at what point do we say, I'm going to bet one of these people he's lived with his entire life, and the other one he's chosen to live with the rest of his life. I'm going to bet he's more like those people that we find to be douchebags than not.
I would say this. I think that Patrick Mahomes is better at hiding it.
No doubt.
But he's
unbelievably likable in those State Farm commercials. But Aaron Rodgers was really likable for a long time in all those commercials too. And then finally, Rodgers said, I'm tired of hiding the fact that I'm a dick. I just want to be a dick to people. That's okay. And I'm just going to be a dick.
I can see where you're coming from. Rodgers to me is great. Like when he goes on McAfee show, I appreciate guys that are honest about who they are. I don't think
he's honest about who he is, but that's fine.
I don't know that we've ever seen Patrick Mahomes have to come out and be honest about who he is, right? He's never really been in that setting.
He's a nice guy. He's always a nice guy.
Yeah, and it plays well for him. You know, Peyton Manning did that. It's kind of the same thing.
Peyton Manning is a nice guy. That's the difference.
Agreed.
One guy is playing a nice guy on TV for the crowd. The other guy has been a public figure for 30-something years, and we have record of the fact that he's just really a good dude.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. You are not wrong.
No one hangs out with Peyton and looks around and says, man, you know the people that Peyton surrounds himself with? These guys are dicks.
That's true.
No one's ever done that. They're all like, oh, man, these guys are awesome dudes, just like him.
That is, you're 100% right. It is an interesting question. So I guess we'll see. Monday night, we'll see what's going on. Chiefs, 10-point favorites. We're both riding with the Giants here. Let's dive into the Super Contest picks. Each week, Chris and I make our 5 official plays against the spread. And, Chris, I'm going to start us off this week. Well, here, let me go and do this. I went 1-4 last week. Not great, but I did get at least one win, so that was good. Overall, 19-16 on the season. Chris, you went 4-1 last week, and that puts you at 18-15-2 on the year. So we're profitable right now. It's not a big profit, but it is still making money, so that's good. I'm going to start us off. I'm going to take the Patriots +5.5 at the Chargers. We already talked about this game, but I think the number's a little bit too high. Like you said, there's going to be a bit of a home field advantage for the Patriots in Los Angeles, and I think this is two quarterbacks that are really finding their way that are knocking this thing out. I think we're going to see points. I mean, there's a reason why the total sits at 49 here. I could totally see this going, both teams in the 30s. I think the Patriots can keep this within 5.5. I think they can win the game outright.
I'm going to start off with Detroit. A couple of weeks ago, I thought at home they were going to, play well against the Bengals, get their first win. I maybe underrated the Bengals in that, and I should never do that again. This week, they are getting their first win. They're catching 3 points. They got the Eagles coming to town. Detroit's winning the football game. Dan Campbell gets his victory.
That was actually my second pick here. And currently the line at BetUS, which is where the game begins, and you can find the link in the description. So go sign up at BetUS. It's actually 3.5. So I'm gonna give you the hook here, because I'm taking the hook as well. Lions +3.5 for me as well. They are playing really well right now. They don't have a bunch of names on the team, but this is a team that looks, better as a full unit, and I think they're gonna get the win. So I'm taking them as well. What's game number two for you?
Game number two for me, I'll stay with the Bengals, riding that hot hand, baby. Bengals -10.5. It's a big number on the road. It's crazy, right? Yes, it's absolutely crazy. But the Jets are bad. The Jets are falling apart at the seams, and Joe Flacco ain't fixing it.
This is turning into one of those weeks where we are looking at the same games. I also have the Bengals -10.5. I already bet them at -10, but that line has grown. I expect it to get closer to like 13 or so by kickoff. I don't think it matters. Zach Wilson was doing some good things with the Jets. Without him, yeah, I have no idea how they score. No idea, because this Bengals defense is really, really good. I don't expect them to be able to score here. And I think the Bengals, I mean, they could put up three touchdowns and cover this. Like, I really think the Jets might score single digits here. So I will take.
Well, the problem is the Bengals are going to put up about five touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm rolling Bengals -10.5 as well. I'll go on and give you my fourth bet here before we get to your third. I'm going to take the Panthers +3 at the Falcons. I think this is a bounce back spot. I don't think the Panthers are nearly as bad as they looked last week against the Giants. But I also don't think that the Falcons are as good as they have appeared in some of these wins here lately. They've been beating bad teams. I expect them to kind of come back down to earth. You get a little more comfortable when you get at home, and the Panthers, for whatever reason, play better on the road. So I'm going to take the Panthers +3. I think that they can actually get a win here, and I kind of expect them to. So I'll take the Panthers +3.
I'm going to take the Bucs -5 at the Saints. I think the Bucs are rolling. They're one of the best teams in football. They've got the best quarterback in football, and they've got one of the best defenses going. I think Jameis Winston's going to have big, big problems.
So this is my last bet. I'm going opposite of you on that. I like the Saints +5. I think they're going to keep it close. At home, I think they might have a shot to win. I doubt it, but I do think that this will be a close ball game. This felt like a field goal game either way because of that Saints defense. So I will take the Saints +5. You still have two more on the board. What are your last two?
I'm going to take the Packers +6.5 at the Cards. I think Aaron Rodgers comes through. Every team in the NFL eventually falls, and I think the Cardinals will fall this weekend. And my last one, I'm taking my Brownies against your Steelers. They're at home. Stefanski's the better coach. I've got the better quarterback. I've got the better defense. I've got the better players all the way across the board. I'll take my Brownies covering the 3.5.
I can get down with that. I can get down with it. Okay. Now, obviously, I said earlier I like the Steelers. I still kind of do. But would it surprise me if this ended up being like a 21-17 game where the Browns get the win? Nope, not in the slightest. It's why I didn't have them as an official play for me. So, quick rundown. I had the Pats +5.5, Panthers +3, Bengals -10.5, Saints +5, and Lions +3.5. Chris has Lions +3.5, Bengals -10, Bucks -5, Packers +6.5, and the Browns -3.5. Chris, anything that you want to hit before we hop off here and I close out this show?
No, sir. That's it, brother.
That sounds good. All right, Chris, we'll talk to you later on. All right. So let's go ahead and close this thing up. We appreciate you guys watching the show. If you would, so kindly, go ahead and like the video for us and make sure you are subscribed to the channel and hit the notification bell. It lets you know when we go live. We do the show on Wednesdays, on Fridays, and, of course, our college football reaction show on Sundays. Of course, go and check out the BetUS college football show that I do Wednesdays and Thursdays. Chris knocks out the SBR college football show, and that one is on Mondays and on Saturdays right now. Don't believe they're doing the midweek show right now until they get the YouTube stuff back up. So either way, go over to the SBR Twitter page and check out Chris over there for his college football show. And, of course, the show brought to you by BetUS, where the game begins, America's top premier sportsbook. Go and check them out. Use the promo code NCAAF2021 to get 125% deposit bonus up to $2,500, and it is sportsbook exclusive. You can click the link in the description, and it's going to put the promo code in there for you. Oh, we've got another fun weekend of football coming up. I cannot wait. Don't forget to come in for the Friday morning show. We're going to have a lot of fun with that one as well, talking a lot of fun college football games this weekend, of course. And if, like I said, the BetUS show and the SBR show, we're going to talk about all the biggest matchups. We always do our off-the-radar pick'em between Chris and myself, and it's a whole lot of fun because we talk about the games that are not being discussed at a bunch of the bigger platforms. So make sure that you are here for that, along with the preview, et cetera, et cetera. Share out the show, tell your friends about it, all that good stuff, and let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. You guys have been fantastic. We appreciate all of you for watching the show. Again, subscribe. We're trying to hit that 5,000 mark on YouTube. If you would so kindly, again, tell your friends all that wonderful stuff. Take care of yourself, take care of each other, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app, visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.